Thank you for being here. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to the 143rd division of the Psalms, we'll camp there for just a few moments. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning. Don't waste your valleys. I'm thoroughly convinced that a great many of us professing Christians want to run from or rebel in or regret the valley experiences of our lives. We do not like it when things don't go our way. And so if we can escape the valley experiences or just grit our teeth and endure what happens to us, that's how we handle valley experiences. But I want you to know this morning that the same God who controls the direction of your life controls the disruptions in your life, and that God often brings us to the valley to teach us more there than we could ever learn on the mountaintop. I read a few weeks ago about a man who experienced a great loss in his life. One morning he decided to take a walk to clear his head, to have a little time alone to spend with God. He came upon the construction of a church, and there was a worker hovered over a large stone, and he was chiseling that stone. It caught the man's attention, and he stopped and watched him for a while. And then he said, "What are you working on?" The worker pointed high up to the top of the church steeple, and he said, "You see that hole up there? I am working on this stone down here so that it will fit when it gets up there." I am quite sure that if we will allow him to do so, God will work on us down here so that we will fit when we get up there. And so I want to share with you from the 143rd Psalm this morning and talk for a few moments about wasting your valley. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He's made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you, and my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. And for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. And in your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. Father, speak to our hearts. And there may be many in this service today who feel as if they are experiencing things of the valley. Would you help us not so much to just endure and try to escape, but somehow to embrace your will as we walk before you. Teach us afresh that he who controls the direction of our lives always controls the difficulties even the dangers and the depths of the valley. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm thoroughly convinced that there is pain in the valley, and that in a room this full with this many people, there must be dozens of us today who are experiencing the kind of pain that people experience when they walk through the valley. This is the psalmist David, the same psalmist who said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So he knew what it was like to have valley experiences. And in this valley experience, he speaks first of all of darkness. He said, "The enemy has pursued my soul. I feel as if I've been crushed to the ground and made to sit in darkness like someone in the grave, in the tomb, someone who is dead." We call that the dark night of the soul. And there are some people in this room this morning, because of the circumstances of your life, you feel like you're in a valley. You're stuck in a rut. It's dark inside of you. Oh, I know we're under bright lights. I know we can see one another. But I'm not speaking of physical sight. I'm speaking particularly of the spiritual sight that we need to walk by faith. And for some in this room this morning, that sight has been erased by the circumstances that you are enduring. He not only mentions darkness, he mentions depression in verse 4. He said, "My spirit faints within me, and my heart is just appalled. I am thrown backward by the circumstances that I face. The obstacles that are in my pathway are greater than I am. And I have thrown in the towel. I have waved the white flag of surrender. I not only am in darkness and cannot see to walk by faith, I'm depressed and have no heart left within me." He even mentions despair in verse 7. He said, "Lord, answer me quickly because my spirit fails. I really cannot muster up the energy or the strength to take another step. So, Lord, quickly come to me. I have no help and no heart and no hope in this matter. There's pain in the valley." And I would never doubt nor deny that some in this room this morning are experiencing that kind of pain. I want to mention a second thing. Believe it or not, there is a prize that we win when we walk in an ordained valley from God. The first prize doesn't sound like a prize, but it is a very special gift from God. The psalmist mentions in the second verse, "Lord, no one living is righteous before you." So you know what the prize is? In the valley, we have plenty of time to repent. Plenty of time to recognize that there is no one righteous before the Lord. Quite often when we're on the mountain, we're so full of self, and we're so full of all that we are and all that we have and all that we have done, we think little about repenting before God. But the psalmist recognizes that no one on the face of the earth is righteous before God unless made righteous by God. And in the valley, there's always time for us to come to a confessing place, come to a consciousness of known sin in our lives, to ask the question, "Did that sin drive me to this place? And oh God, if it did, would you forgive me and cleanse me and restore me to the joy of your salvation?" It is not only the prize of repentance. The psalmist mentions the prize of remembrance. He said, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on this. I ponder the works of your hands." Now, we're talking about a man who once sat in the council of the godly, who once stood in the palace of the king, who once, with the move of his hand, controlled everything that took place in Israel. He is now running from and hiding from the enemy. He now spends his nights in the dark caves. He now moves from food to food and never knows where the next bite comes from. This is a rich man who's now poor. This is a kingly man who's now broken. This is a man who had everything who now has little or nothing except a relationship with God that makes him remember. You know what happens when God puts you in the valley? You begin to think about the mountain. You begin to think about the good times. There's nothing, are you listening? There's nothing that'll make that normal old lackadaisical job that you hate for the most part valuable like it being put in jeopardy. I don't think you heard me. There's not a thing in this world that'll make that boring old routine worthy until you believe you'll not be able to keep that boring old routine. When God puts us in the valley, it makes us remember the good times. Makes us remember the blessing. It makes us remember the work of His hands. It makes us meditate upon Him. Not only does He mention repentance and remembrance, verse 6, He says, I stretch out my hands to you, and my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. It makes us reliant upon the Lord. You never know Jesus is all you need until you discover Jesus is all you have. And in the moment when you recognize you have no one but the Lord, you will suddenly recognize you don't need anyone but the Lord when you walk through the valley. David said, I know, Lord, that if I stretch out my hand to you, you will take hold of my hand and deal with me like a shepherd with his sheep, bringing me to safety, stilled waters, green pastures, and a table prepared in the presence of mine enemies. David said, those are some prizes that you win if you're willing to stay in the valley. We want to quickly talk about this. The priorities, the principles that we need to know about in the valley. Let me talk about your conduct. There will never be a time when your witness is more fervent and more faithful than in the valley. You see, if you're on the mountaintop and everything is going your way, people will assume that you ought to be praising the Lord. That's what the devil said about Job. Why wouldn't Job serve you? Satan said. He's got everything and everything is going his way. Take what he's got, change his circumstances, and he'll curse you, the devil said. Well, it didn't turn out that way, but here's what I want you to know. The world watches you, and when you're on the mountaintop and all is well, they expect you to thank God. But when you break out in praise in the midst of the valley, when darkness, discouragement, and depression surround you, the world will take note. Watch your conduct. Number two, watch your consistency. Don't be an elevator Christian, up one day and down the next. I meet folks like that quite often. One day, they cannot get enough of telling you all the good things that's going on. And the next day, how are you doing? Oh, all right, under the circumstances. Get out from under the circumstances. Rise above the circumstances. Learn that in the valley you need to be consistent. Give God the glory on the good days and give Him the glory on the difficult days. Give God the glory on the mountain so you can give Him glory in the valley. Give Him glory when you've got what you want, and give Him glory when what you want you don't have, but you have Him. Just learn to be consistent as a Christian. Learn to cooperate. Now listen to me. You're not the only one in the valley. It's not all about you. You might have been placed in the valley to help somebody else who's in the valley. You may be in the valley so somebody can help you and be used of God. You may not know why you're in the valley, but you do know who put you in the valley, so enjoy the valley experience and reach out your hand. Be an encourager. Hug somebody's neck in the valley. Pray over somebody that's in the valley. Help somebody stand up that's in the valley. Put a coat on a cold man in the valley. Put food in the belly of a hungry man in the valley. Do something that'll magnify and glorify God in the valley. Don't waste your valley. Well, let me tell you something else about the valley. It's a good place to get strong and courageous. David stood in the valley, and on the hilltop, the giant mocked him. If there's any man down there with the courage to stand up against me, let him do so. And David said, "The battle is the Lord's. Come get what's coming to you." And the giant was fell that day, not because David was a good slingshot thrower, but because God has never lost a battle. All of that to bring us to this final thought. I know there's pain in the valley, and I know that some of you are experiencing that pain this morning. I want to remind you that there's a prize in the valley. God's going to give you time to search your heart and to cry out and repent before Him. God's going to help you to remember a better time and to seek that kind of time like the church at Ephesus. Remember, repent, and return to your first love. God in the valley is going to make you reliant upon Him and not upon manipulation and not upon strength of self and not upon things you can do. Your conduct is important. Your consistency is important. Your cooperation with other believers is important. And your courage in the valley, that's important too. But I want to tell you how to escape the valley. The pathway out of the valley starts with prayer. Almost every verse in the 143rd Psalm is a cry to the God of heaven. Listen, don't sit in the valley and be pitiful. Stand in the valley and be prayerful. Cry out to the God who hears and who answers prayer. He will not delay. He will deliver. He will bring you up and set you on a solid rock and establish your going and put a new song in your heart. Where did you get that, Pastor? That's the testimony of the very man who wrote the psalm. God brings us up, God sets us up, and God tunes us up when we pray to Him. Prayer is not the only thing you should do in the valley. The second thing is you ought to practice walking in obedience. I mean, you ought to act like you're on the mountain. When you're in the valley, you ought to live your life like you're on the mountain. Nothing's different. You say, but my health, my spouse, my family, my job. Yes, but not your Lord. No, you didn't hear me. Something's different, Pastor. It's my health, it's my family, it's my job, it's my spouse. Yes, but not your Lord. Walk like there's been no change in the heavenly status. When you're in the valley, remember he's still the King of Kings and he's still the Lord of Lords. You're still his child. His blood still flows in your veins. You're still waiting on the sound of the trumpet. You're still going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You're still going to live forever in glory, and that will never change. Just remember that when you're in the valley. I want you to grasp that. Just keep walking like you've always walked. But what about what's changed? It's temporary. Paul said it's trivial. It's not here for long. There is an eternal equivalent that never changes. Walk like nothing has changed, because nothing of value really has. And let me give you one last thought. There's one other way. Pray and practice walking in obedience. And finally, I want to use the word praise. Look at verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you're my God. Let your good spirit lead me on the level ground. Oh Lord, teach us to praise you in the valley. Now watch this. Most people praise God when they get out of the valley. The report came from the doctor. It's a good report. Thank you, Lord. The job's going to last a while longer. Thank you, Lord. The prodigal comes home. The family's put back together. The circumstance changes. Thank you, Lord. Most people praise God when they come out of the valley. Have you ever thought about praising God while you're still in the valley? Lord, even if the report does not come back good, you are my God. Lord, even if the prodigal delays in his homecoming, I give you praise. Lord, even if the situation is not changed to my liking, I give you the glory. Lord, even if the mess gets messier, I'm going to stand in the middle of it all and say to you is all glory and honor and praise and power and might and majesty, both now and forever. What I'm saying is this: if you'll praise him in the valley, you'll suddenly be lifted up on wings of an eagle, and you'll fly, and you'll walk, and you'll run, and look down, and all of a sudden you're on the mountaintop because you have praised your way out of the valley. So the man who'd lost everything looked at the worker. I said, what are you doing? I'm chipping away. I'm sanding. I'm turning. I'm making this down here so that it'll fit when I get it up there. And I contend that in the valley, he's chipping away. Sometimes he pounds. Sometimes it's pressure. He turns, he molds, and he makes. Because he's working on us down here so that we'll fit when we get up there. Don't waste your valley experiences. They are what conforms you to the very image of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. In a moment, pastors will be in the altar. I'm going to ask everyone just to stay right where you are. Be very prayerful. Very prayerful. Some of your brothers and sisters, if not you, some of your brothers and sisters are walking in the valley this morning. To you, I want to say this. The pastors are here, and we'd love to pray with you and for you. Come take us by the hand. You don't have to spill the beans. You don't have to tell us all. All you have to do is say, I'm walking in a valley, and I need encouragement. I need support. I need a friend. I need somebody to pray for me. Our altar's open. You can come and you can pray. And maybe if you come to pray, somebody will feel led to come and kneel beside you and pray with you. If you've never trusted Christ, what a great morning it would be for you to trust in Him. If your membership's elsewhere and God's spoken to your heart about our church family, it'd be a great morning for you to join. But before you leave today, I want you to be convinced of this. The same God who directs your steps on a day-by-day basis is the same God who brings about change, who brings about difficulty, who even brings about valley experiences, because without them, we could never be made in the image of Christ. Don't run from it. Don't rebel in it. And don't regret having been there. Embrace God's will and God's way, for that's the way we become more like Jesus. If we can help you in any way, if God speaks to your heart, we're here and you come.
As the deep panteth for the water, so